There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The Bookshelf. What you should be reading.
Well, what you should be reading today is a book that we've got our guest talking about. Now, our guest on the studio, if you've just tuned in, is Paolo Horta. He's the Associate Professor of Literature and Creative Writing at New York University, Abu Dhabi. He's also the author of Marvelous Thieves, Secret Authors of the Arabian Nights, which is the book we were just talking about. We're really excited to have you at the festival, but you're not just going to be at the festival in your author capacity. You're also going to be moderating, aren't you?
Yes. It's a great pleasure that I will have to interview one of the most widely read authors in the world today.
Speaking of one of the, could you give us his name?
Carlos Ruiz Zafón.
Yeah, he put us out of our misery. So he's sold an inordinate number of copies. And his book, the latest in the tetralogy, the Cemetery of Forgotten Books tetralogy, is rather heavy. Paolo's got it with him today. Now, here's a little bit of background information about Carlos.
Carlos Ruiz Zafón was born and raised in Barcelona. Before becoming a full-time novelist in his mid-20s, he worked for 6 years shooting TV commercials, creating advertising campaigns, and as a screenwriter. He's the author of 8 novels, including the Cemetery of Forgotten Books series. Titles under the series include The Shadow of the Wind, The Angel's Game, The Prisoner of Heaven, and its grand finale, The Labyrinth of the Spirits, which is scheduled for worldwide English publication this fall. A 6-time New York Times best-selling author, his work has been translated into more than 45 languages and has sold more than 35 million copies around the world. That makes him the second most widely read author from Spain after the renowned Miguel de Cervantes. Zafón lives in Los Angeles, California.
Second most read author. That's incredible. That is ridiculous. It's insane. What are you most looking forward to about his session at the festival? Like, have you met him before?
No, I've actually met many writers from Latin America and Spain, and I spent the summer in Barcelona, which is where Carlos spends half of his time, the other half in L.A. But no, this will be my first time meeting him.
Well, the first in the series is obviously The Shadow of the Wind, hugely popular. I remember reading it for Spanish A-level, actually, in Spanish.
And I read it in English, and I absolutely loved it. It's the Cemetery of Forgotten Books, and the twists and turns, and really quite intricate plot. But it works so well, and the characters are so believable, and you sort of are gripped and following and wanting things to work out. Whether they do or not, you have to read the book and you have to continue to read the series.
Now, you've got the latest one in front of you, and it's only in Spanish at the moment.
That's right. It's not even available for pre-order. But I do want to talk about his world, Zafón's world. I think it's the return of the Gothic. We were, in fact, talking about some writers from the 19th century. And I heard in the commercial a reference to Stephen King. When Shadow of the Wind came out, Stephen King said, if you thought the Gothic died of the 19th century, this book, Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón, proves that you're wrong. And I think it's important to understand the genre of the Gothic with all its monsters and vampires and romance. Otherwise, I think we can't really, even the melodrama of the books, otherwise we don't really know exactly what we're talking about.
So Gothic, I have never recognized, I have to say, this is my ignorance, Gothic as a genre within fiction. So tell us, you know, why you are saying that Carlos Ruiz Zafón's Shadow of the Wind, the whole series, The Cemetery of Forgotten Books, form a Gothic.
Well, a few spoilers here, but I won't spoil it too much. You will encounter revived corpses who've been stitched together and automatons that wouldn't be out of place in cyberpunk graphic novels. There is this fascination with almost with horror, if you will, which combines with melodrama and romance and love triangles and these kinds of complications. And that is a world that he's inhabiting. And I think it's a world that we don't always know how to enter. This year, the leading film in terms of Oscar nominations, is The Shape of Water. Mm. And Guillermo del Toro is a huge fan of Gothic. And in fact, he's introducing Frankenstein in a new edition for Norton this year.
It's the 200th anniversary of Frankenstein.
Exactly.
And we have a specialist talking about Frankenstein at the festival. So that's a great link.
And the world that Del Toro and that Zaffone are inhabiting is a very gothic world. And Del Toro has complained. He had this movie called Crimson Peak with Jessica Chastain and Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
These great stars. And it did not make as much money as the studio thought it would make. And he said it was mismarketed as horror. So people were expecting the ghosts to lead to gory violence, to gore, I should say. And in fact, he said it was gothic romance, and the studio didn't seem to understand what it had or how to interpret it.
Yeah, I cannot stand horror movies. I cannot watch them. I'm total scaredy cat, and it was the one film I actually went to see that looked remotely like a horror film, and I absolutely loved it, and I went because it was, I thought, gothic romance. And I absolutely loved it. So I understand why it didn't do so well.
It is a gorgeous film. And like The Shape of Water, it is a film that really deserves to be seen on a large fake 4K TV or on a big screen if you can.
Right. So this is very much the gothic genre. Now, Barcelona, as the setting, you were in Barcelona in the summer. So how does that lend itself to the location, because I absolutely felt the sense of place in his writing.
Thank you. And I think that, for me, that's much of the appeal of Zaffone's writing. I think that in the same way that we think of Orhan Pamuk in Istanbul, and we think of certain writers attached to certain cities, Zaffone is a writer of Barcelona, and what he does is he gives us Barcelona Gothic. That is really his thing, and that's of all the books that he's written. Now, he's written 4 young adult novels, and now he's written the 4 novels of The Shadow of the Wind for adults. But really, I think they're all gothic, and they're all Barcelona gothic. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the first book that he wrote that he felt really clicked, which is the last of his young adult novels. It's called Marina. And I think if I just read the first paragraph, you'll have a sense of his writing. In the late 70s, Barcelona was a mirage of avenues and winding alleys where one could easily travel 30 or 40 years into the past by just stepping into the foyer of a grand old building or walking into a cafe. Time and memory, history and fiction merged in the enchanted city like watercolors in the rain. It was there, in the lingering echo of the streets that no longer exist, the cathedrals and age-old palaces created the tapestry into which the story would be woven.
Gosh, yeah, you're taken straight there, aren't you? I mean, his writing is such that he paints with this beautiful writer's paintbrush where you are and how it feels. And the original Shadow of the Wind is set in about the 1950s in Barcelona.
That's right, in the post-war.
And does it continue in the same time, or is he jumping in years?
He jumps around. So the Shadow of the Wind that Annabelle read was followed by Angel's Game, which is actually a prequel set in the 20s and 30s. Yeah. Sorry, did you read that one as well?
Oh, no, I didn't. No, please carry on, because something that Carlos said was that we think of this as a series or a trilogy, but it's not chronological, is it?
No, that's right. And I think really he's constructed a kind of Rubik's Cube where you can enter any of the 4 novels and it will make sense on its own terms, and he's very proud of that. I must say, to be honest, that this 900-page final volume of the tetralogy, perhaps more than the others, is the only book that would really benefit if you've read one of the others first, because he skips around a lot more in time and in place, and he seems to be assuming a little bit more pre-knowledge, if you will, of the universe. But Angel's Game or The Shadow of the Wind or any of the first 3, I think you could read on its own.
What an incredible thing to be able to do as a writer, to have that much forethought, to be able to create 4 books. And he describes them as like entradas, like different entrances to the story.
I think what he's trying to, you're speaking about Barcelona in the summer. He's trying to reveal a different kind of Barcelona.
Okay.
So if you go as a tourist, I was there for the whole summer. Mostly you remember tan. You remember people, the beach culture. You know, you might imagine that this is a sort of a summer beach destination. I mean, it's one of the most widely visited cities in the world. And every single character in Zaffone is pale. So you really are passing through a portal to a different dimension. And the trick is really time. And it is true that Barcelona is uniquely layered in terms of its history. You go to the marketplace in Born, you look down, and you literally see the archaeological remnants of a city from 300 years ago. You can travel across time by going deep under Barcelona, which is exactly what his novels do. He's always imagining buried palaces and abandoned cathedrals and the Palace of Tears and these places which exist maybe only in the imagination, but they're really an extrapolation from the past, an extrapolation from the old Barcelonas that did exist.
We're going to have to leave it there, but very quickly, before we say goodbye to you, Paolo, what's one thing that you're looking forward to asking Carlos at the festival?
Well, I think that a lot of the audience will relate to his predicament as an expat. He was in L.A. doing these commercials. He was away from this old city of Barcelona with many of its layers and sediments of history. How is it that he could write in such a relatively new city like Los Angeles? You have so many aspirational writers coming to the Dubai Festival of Literature. I think that his predicament is very much like that of his audience, who are away from the Madrids and Londons from which they come.
But don't you think that's when you really, in your mind, you are taken back to the place where he grew up, which is Barcelona, and its history, that the missing of it, it becomes so much stronger.
It is uncanny just how Joyce was in Trieste recreating Dublin, or Orhan Pamuk was in New York recreating Istanbul. Yeah. And in this case, Carlos was in L.A. recreating Barcelona. I really think that's the magic
point,
that I would like to ask him. And I think that the audience will really be interested in, because they are trying to write these books themselves, hence signing up to the workshops that you have on fantasy and different genres.
I think that's such a good point. Yeah. And I can't wait to have you there with Robert Irwin, with Carlos Ruiz Zafón. Paolo, what a wonderful guest you've been on Talking of Books.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.